If you want to, you can be turning your Bibles there to Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20. You know, a lot of times we have things that we warn our kids about when they're growing up. You know, we warned our children about them from a young age, and sometimes not even really thinking about it. But I have up here on the pulpit great piece of literature that I want you guys to see. It's called The Three Little Pigs. Yeah, you say, oh, preacher's preaching out Three Little Pigs this morning. Nah, I'm not really preaching, but there is a great moral story in this this story about the three little pigs. And three little pigs, as you know, they decided to build their own house. One built it out of straw, one built it out of sticks, and the other one built it out of wood. And remember that the wolf, the big bad wolf, he came along and he said, you know what? Little pig, let me in. And man, these pigs, they had a great response. They said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And they, but the ones that built with the hay and built with the sticks, you know what happened? He huffed and he puffed and what? He blew their house down. And then we go on to the one, he built it in the brick. The other ones that ran there, they built the house with brick and mortar and was put together. It was a strong house, and the wolf came to them once again, and them three little pigs were all in that one house, and they said, hey, little pig, let me in. And they said, not by the hair of our chinny chin chins. And man, what a great answer. They weren't going to let, no way, no how was they going to let him in, because that wolf, why, he was dangerous. And that wolf, he huffed and puffed, and he tried to blow the house down, but he couldn't blow the house down. And we know how the wolf, he's like, well, you know, the wolves don't give up very easy. And they're wanting to destroy. They're wanting to put a hurt on that. That wolf, them wolves wanted some bacon. I mean, a lot of people will fight for bacon, right? And that old wolf, he got up to that chimney, went down there, and said, you know what, we're going to fix that old wolf. We're going to put us a big hot pot of boiling water on top of the fire, and when he comes down, it's going to get him. And sure enough, he came down, squeezed down that chimney, and they caught him before he got all the way in the house. I want to tell you, that's important. We know stories about Little Red Riding Hood. We tell our kids and talk about that wolf. Remember that wolf tried to be the grandma and going to eat Little Red Riding Hood. That wolf was dangerous. That wolf, she had some sharp teeth. And it was identified. And so we warn our kids about it. Well, you know what? The Word of God warns us about wolves. They warn about wolves. Man is saying, you know what? These wolves, we need to be on the lookout for them because they're dangerous. You know, shepherds over the years have always tried to protect their sheep from wolves. There was something that was thousands of years ago, as these shepherds were out on the hillsides, they developed something that would help warn everybody about a wolf attack or wolves in the area, so the rest of the shepherds with other herds know. And it was a thing, it was a certain whistle. It was a wolf whistle. They would take their fingers and put it in the mouth like maybe some of you old guys can. I never could do that. My dad, I mean, I'm telling you, I could be 2 miles down the road on my dirt bike, riding down the road, and my dad would come out and whistle in the front porch for supper time or to get home. I could hear it over top of my motorcycle. I mean, he could really put those fingers out in there and whistle loud. And I knew by that, I better be getting home. If I didn't respond, I was going to be in trouble. But he'd whistle really loud. Well, these shepherds, when they would see a wolf in the area, though they'd be scanning maybe across a valley and catch the glimpse of a wolf, they would make that whistle, and that whistle would carry for miles. And would warn all the other shepherds that there are wolves in the area. Protect the sheep. Be on guard. Watch out. Danger is approaching. And a lot of times it would prepare them about the attack. So the attack, they wouldn't lose any sheep. They were ready for the wolves. Well, if you turn your Bibles there to Acts chapter 20 this morning, we see Paul is talking to us here, and you know, Paul was a great man of God, used for a lot of things, used in a lot of ways for the church. He helped start churches. He'd been traveling. He'd been training people. He'd been pastoring this church in this area. And we see that Paul talks about in previous verses coming up there in this chapter, and like in verse number 20, he says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He had preached the complete truth of the gospel, and he had preached against things. He had preached against sin. He was preaching against things that shouldn't be in the Christian life, and he was trying to get these Christians engaged to go forward for the glory of God, so they would be that wheat that we talked about this morning in a Sunday school class. And he held back nothing. You know, sometimes when people don't like what you're preaching or like what you're saying, you're tempted to hold back a little bit. But if you're a God-called preacher or a pastor, you're not going to hold back when something needs to be said. And Paul, he didn't hold back. See, you can like it or you can lump it. I'm going to share the things that I must share. I'm going to hold back nothing. And in verse number 24, we know that he probably has people that came up and they fought against this. And he had these struggles and different things. In verse 24, he says this. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And then he's getting ready to move, and he's getting ready to move on in his church that he's addressing here. And in verse number 28, we see that he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. He's turning this ministry over here to some other leaders, another pastor, so to speak. And he says, hey, therefore unto yourselves, take unto yourselves heed. To all the flock, take heed, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And pastor, hey, please, take heed. Hey, pay attention. God is doing a work, and God's going to continue. But you need to take heed of some things, because there's maybe some trouble on the way. He says also this, he says, and this is a good verse to give the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to your house. It goes on to say, he says, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus Christ was God. And God shed His own blood for us. He wasn't just some good teacher, some morally right man. He was a man. He lived as a man. He was still 100% God. He's the one that made the way of redemption. He's the one that took out all the things that were in the way to be reconciled to God. Because He was God. And God's the only one that could do it. And then it goes on to say, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Wow, we see Paul pouring out his heart here. Can you see the passion? Can you see his heart? These people, and the warning that he gives, he says, hey, it grieves me that there's going to be grievous wolves come in among you that are going to try to tear down what God has established here, what God is doing here, and they're going to try to rip things apart. I want to tell you, Satan doesn't like anything that's being done for the glory of God. And when a church is moving forward for the glory of God, when people are growing in the things of God, hey, Satan does not like it, and the wolves will begin to sound. I want to tell you, we need to be warned against the wolves. We learn from verses 29, and then again with verse 29, that these wolves, first of all, will come from the outside. They will come in from other places. We see from verse number 30 that they will come also from the... I'm going to get where I need to be here. Okay. Let's see number 30, that these wolves show up within also. wolves in sheep's clothing. These wolves, they may have taught Sunday school. They may have worked vacation Bible school. They may have played instruments. They may have be someone you love. They may be someone who is involved in many things. But it says they'll come from among yourselves. Hey, watch out for the wolves. No matter the case, we are warned about both types. Those ones who come from other places and those ones who are among us. He says, beware, be on the lookout for the wolves. Paul specifically warns that wolves are coming. Be on your guard. Think about this. Here's a church that Paul started. Most of these ones he had led to the Lord Himself, and he had established this church, and he pastored this church, turning it over to another pastor. And in this church that Paul had started, he's saying, you know what? It's going to happen. It's not a possibility that it might not happen, but it's going to happen. These wolves are going to enter in. They're going to come. From without, they're going to come from within. It's going to happen. He says, I know this, that after my departure, that grievous wolves will enter among you, not sparing the flock. So if this happened in the church that Paul started, don't you think it's something that we need to mention here in the church that we have here at First Baptist Church in Newcastle, Virginia? Don't you think it may be important today to mention this, to warn? Hey, we must be on guard about wolves. Wolves are dangerous and they need to be marked and identified. Oh, some people might say, well, I just don't want to be just on calling anybody a wolf or see somebody as a wolf or whatever. Hey, Jesus Christ Himself said we need to mark certain people. Hey, we need to understand that there are wolves. There are people that are against what God is doing and how God is working. There are people that are against anything good, and He says you better mark them. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, it says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing, and if any obey not the word of this epistle, note them or mark that man. And it says in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses. It says, mark them. Jesus Christ Himself said this in Matthew 7:4. Jesus said, beware of ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, talking about the false prophets. We must be on guard about wolves. I want you guys right now, if you would, I want you to pray for me as I preach this message. I want this message to be preached with the heart of a pastor, with a concern for his church. I want this message to be preached with compassion, but I want it to be preached with warning and urgency. And I want to tell you, Satan does not like the message I'm getting ready to preach today. So if you could, pray for me while I preach this. Satan hates this message. Wolves are dangerous to others and themselves. You know, that's the thing we must realize. The wolf, they're dangerous. They want to hurt. They want to destroy the lambs. But they're also dangerous to themselves. So there's a warning today for the sheep, and there's a warning today for the wolves. This message is not designed to run off wolves, to keep the wolves from coming, but it is designed to mark them. It's designed to help the sheep to identify them. And also, if a wolf would happen to be sitting in our presence today, or if a wolf would happen to be out on the internet today, that they would heed and understand, hey, wolves live dangerous lives. And they're a danger to themselves. God help us to take this morning and allow God to use this. Let's pray just for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You, and I praise You today for Your goodness to us. Lord, I thank You for loving us. Lord, I thank You for salvation and all that it does, dear God. Thank You for what You've done today, that You made it possible, dear God, that we could be reconciled back to You. And Lord, today that I called out upon Your name, the change it's made in my life. And Lord, for the many folks that are here today to give the testimony, oh, what a difference Jesus Christ makes. Dear God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray this morning as I preach this message, dear God. Lord, I pray that this message today will be ordained of you, dear Lord. Lord, I pray today, dear God, the words that I speak will not be my words, but they would be your words this morning. Lord, I pray that you will take my lips and use them for a little while. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me. I pray that you add the blessing to the reading of the word. I pray that you'll work in the hearts and lives up and down these aisles today, across these internet waves. And God, I pray that you'll use this, dear God, because truly the matter is, dear God, if we invite the wolves in, it's our fault if we get bit. And God, I pray that you'll help us today, Lord, to see the importance of this. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. It is the wolf that is needed to be identified. When he or she rises, they will not destroy our church if we identify them. They may rock the boat, but they won't destroy it. There's three types of wolves that are mentioned in the Word of God. The first wolf is mentioned called the evening wolf in 7:3 in verse number 3. This is the evening. It's very subtle. This wolf is causes discord. It also causes discord about leadership. Just goes in and plugs the little things in there and tries to get people persuaded. And the very subtle how they go around doing things. Another wolf that's mentioned in the Word of God is the ravening wolves in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. These are the destroying wolves. They undermine the work of God. I want to tell you, if someone's not preaching this Word, if someone's going against this Word, if someone's saying there's another way to salvation, if someone says that Jesus Christ is not God, I want to tell you they're a wolf this morning. They're wanting to destroy and to rip apart. And the third type of wolf in that's mentioned in the Word of God is a grievous wolf that we see here in Acts chapter 20. This grievous wolf causes grief on people. It causes people to grieve and it causes heartache. These are backstabbers and backbiters. When the preaching or the teaching hits close to home, they feel threatened and they bite. These are the grievous wolves. These are the ones that will cause the heart of the pastor to grieve, the heart of the shepherd to grieve. Grievous wolves. Someone said this. Someone said the bees and the birds. The bees, the birds, and the cows all sing and hum and low in the major chord, but a wolf always howls in the minor chord. I want to tell you this morning, the minor chord is what the wolf makes, where he makes his sound as he howls. Can you hear the wolf howling? Can you hear the wolf howling this morning? A minor chord is a depressing chord. A minor chord is a chord that is disharmonizing. It is not it's the opposite of what cheerful is. Major chord is a happy chord, a cheerful chord. That's how the children of God and the sheep ought to be sounding off. The wolf sounds off in the minor chord. Let me give you a little bit of example. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know what? There ain't nobody going to miss me around there. I really don't. I'll tell you what, I just can't agree with what that preacher's preaching, what they're trying to do up there. I tell you what, can't believe that they're doing that up there at that church. Oh my gracious, I can't believe the pastor expects us to be faithful to the house of God. Can you hear the how? Can you hear the how this morning? It always howls in the minor chord. Wolves. The disharmoning sound of wolves is recognized by the shepherd who has faced the wolves before. What we are going to do today is this. We're going to blow the whistle on the wolf. We're going to, everybody, get your whistle out. Get your whistle out. Now, one time here we go. We're going to blow the whistle on the wolf. The kids are probably crying in the background down there now. What in the world is going on out there? I have given you a very valuable tool. Very valuable tool. That will help and guarantee the future of this church. It'll help and guarantee the future of your family and your Christian walk. I want you to look at this whistle. Take your whistle out and look at it. We're going to identify some wolves this morning. And I want to tell you, instead of listening to the wolves and allowing them to devour us, or allowing them to pull us over to their side, this is what I want you to do. Every time you see this whistle, hey, this would be a good idea to hang it on your truck mirror. It'd be a good idea to put it on your keychain. And every time you feel that, and somebody gets up there and they start howling like a wolf, you know what you need to do? Wouldn't that solve a whole lot of problems? Wouldn't that take care of a lot of things? It'll probably make a lot of people mad, but it's going to do what it needs to do. Blow the whistle on the wolves. If we're going to identify wolves, we're going to have to identify them. We're going to have to see some things about them. Here's one of the most important things about a wolf. A wolf has a carnal or a fleshly appetite. A wolf has a carnal or a fleshly appetite. The best thing we can do to keep wolves out is not to allow for the flesh. And by the way, one of the best ways you can keep the wolves out of your home and your family is not allow for the flesh. And you know what? We don't need the flesh in this church, running this church. We don't need the flesh to be exhibited in this church. We don't need the flesh in our music. We don't need the flesh in our appearance. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to cover up the flesh. God help us to understand that a wolf has a fleshly appetite. You don't pour out guts, cow guts, in wolf country and not expect to draw wolves. They look for opportunities to seize the flesh, to feed on the flesh themselves, and plus they are attracted by flesh. They play on the emotions of others. Because they have a flesh appetite, they are the masters of playing on the emotion of others, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. They love to get you in with them and pull you onto their side. Oh, I tell you what, I'm just so hurt. Oh my gracious, there's no way that we could be doing something like that in the year 2020. That Bible, I don't know about that. It sure is current for today. That preacher's preaching like we ought to believe every word. Yes, you should. And we ought to practice every bit of it. What was good 2,000 years ago is still good today. Hey, God expects holy living. Hey, He expects us to grow up in Christ, to be more like Christ. He expects us to grow in the Lord. I hope you're not the same as you were last year, as you are today. I pray that you've been growing. But when someone comes out and they try to discourage you from doing something for God and growing for God, hey, let me tell you this. Blow the whistle. You know what? They make being with them fun and exciting at first, and then they shift the focus off the relationship onto them and their needs. Hey, also, they move very fast and capitalizing on the flesh. They will try to get you hooked through sweet talk and a false sense of interest. I don't know. I thank God for people that encourage me. But I tell you what, I can tell you time and time again, when someone comes up and say, Pastor, you're just the best thing. You're the best thing since white bread. You're the best thing since butter. Lord, Pastor, you're just wonderful. You're a great, awesome person. It ain't too long. I get bit. See, the one with the sweetest mouth, oftentimes the one with the sharpest teeth. They feed off the flesh. Oh, they try to get you in where they can dig into the devour. They try to work. They work on your emotions. You want to love. You want to be thankful. You want to be encouraged. And so you naturally will try to allow that. But then you're getting set up. You know what? Wolves always also try to appeal to the flesh through music, through appearance, through entertainment, and even worship. I hear the wolf howling. I hear the wolves howling. I hear the wolves howling. It's time we blow the whistle on the wolves. You know what also? Wolves like to lay up. See, in the heat of the day, what an old wolf likes to do is go back to the den. And if you go in the den, what are you going to see? You're going to see them laying on different levels. Each one tries to get a little higher than the other. They want to be seen. They lay up. They get a position and they lay up in that position. See, wolves, they don't like the soul win. They don't like to lead anybody to the Lord. Wolves, they don't like to work in the children ministry. They don't want to have to wipe up some kid's vomit. You know what? Wolves, they don't like to clean the toilet because they think it's beneath them. Wolves, I want to tell you, sometimes wolves, they most times they like to lay up. They're a lot like the Pharisees in Matthew, in Luke chapter 11, that like the upper seats in the synagogue. They won't want to do certain things. What they want to do is serve on a committee or a board or other things that are beneath them. Other things are beneath them. They want a position, not a condition. Oh, I'll hit on that just for a moment. Now, I'm not aware of any wolves in this congregation this morning. If you are one, I'm praying for you. But I don't know of anyone in here. But I want to tell you, one of the things of wolf behavior is someone that says, you know what, Pastor, I don't believe you. I don't want you to have all this. You mean I got to do this to serve here, or I got to live this way, or I should live honoring God? I should have a good testimony to stay in the church. I should have a good testimony to be a deacon in the church. I should have a good testimony about certain things to do this or that, or to help out with the kids. I shouldn't be an alcoholic and work with the kids. Hey, I want to tell you, they desire a position and not the condition. God desires clean vessels to be used for Him. Wolves don't like conditions. They love power and themselves. They live for the love of power rather than the power of love. They refuse correction and respond with criticism and anger, and oftentimes back at you. They often have gossipships and not fellowships. Oh, wolf. Hey, why don't you come over to my house and have a time of fellowship? But what ends up is somebody getting roasted. God, forgive us. You know what? Gossipship shouldn't be among the believers. Sitting there wanting to just rip and tear and undermine what God is doing. Something got a burr on your saddle and you just can't let it go. And you just go, well, I'm going to get as many people to listen as I can. And next thing you know, it just breeds a big gossip ship. You know what? They refuse correction and they respond to criticism. They often have gossip ships instead of fellowships. And if a person is concerned about the welfare of the church, you know what? If someone comes to you and says this, and if someone comes to me as a pastor and says this, well, Pastor, I'm just concerned about the welfare of our church. You know what? If somebody is truly concerned about the welfare of our church, they'll be praying for our church and they'll be winning souls to Christ. But a wolf, they just want to come in and say, man, people been coming to me. Then you ask them a question, well, who? Well, I don't want to hurt nobody. Well, good signs. that they're a wolf, and that the ones that came to you was a wolf, and they knew you were one too, and that's why they came to you. It says this in Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. For there is many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. I hear the wolf. I hear the wolf howling. I hear the wolf howling. Time to what? Blow the whistle on the wolf. You know what? Thirdly, all wolves want to be leaders. All wolves want to be leaders of the pack. And here, I want to point out something here. Just let's stay with me just a minute. Don't nobody throw anything at me. But 9 times out of 10, there will be a small little female behind the male. Little 50-pound female running behind that 100-pound timber wolf down the trail. And she's going down and she's wanting to lead the pack instead of him. But she's always wanting, and by the way, wolves come in both genders. Well, she's gonna get in trouble back there. They come in both genders. But you know what? This little female, she wants everybody to think that her husband's the one doing the leading. But we find out she's the really one choosing the direction of everything going. She's the one fueling the man. You ought to just go tell that preacher what you think of him. Well, you can't stand for this. You better do something. You know, they studied wolves. We had infrared cameras. And they watched them as they went down the trails. They a lot of times follow a deer trail or maybe an elk or something when they're in the woods. And you got this alpha male. So supposedly, going down the trail. He's the first one in. He's sort of glancing back and forth. He's looking. There's this female behind him. She's the one in second place there. And he's going down there. But all of a sudden, this female, you know what she does? She decides to go off to the left on another trail without telling anybody. And he's been watching. You know what he does? He catches her out of his side of his view of his eye. And he swings around and he'll jump back. He'll go right around and get in front of that trail and start going down that direction. She determined his course. I just want to encourage you ladies. Hey, if you've got a godly man that loves the Lord and wants to do what God wants him to do, supports this church, supports your pastor, love him, follow him, and enjoy it. I want to tell you, the happiest place for any man is in His kingdom. God has created every man to be a king of something. And if you allow Him to be the king of your home, man, it's a beautiful thing. And I tell you what, whether you may think it or not, you want that. Because you're created to be in that way. And you mean, there's no woman that does not want a man that she knows that loves her, cares for her, wants to lead her in the best way, in the best direction, and she don't have to worry about him. She knows he's genuine. Man, she's happy. Ain't that right, baby? But these wolves, they want to be the leader. They have a major problem with these verses. Hebrews chapter 13 says this in verse 17. It says, obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unfortunate for you. Salute all them that have the authority over you. Verse 24. Hey, wolves don't like those verses. You know what? A wolf, they know who they can talk to and they can know who's a wolf. They can sense it. You know, maybe that wolf is among the sheep with sheep's clothing on. His scent is covered, but another wolf knows another wolf, no matter what they're wearing. The sheep might not be able to detect it, but the other wolf does. And you know another thing a wolf can do? A wolf can sense who is weak and sick. They're out in one of the national parks. They have a buffalo herd. And they have some domesticated, semi-domesticated wolves. Well, they'll do this a couple times a year or so. And they will take and turn those wolves out on that buffalo herd. Those buffalo will begin to disperse and go off in all kinds of directions. But there's always, usually, at least one that the wolves have circled. He did not run. He didn't try to get out of the way. They honed in on that buffalo. The people that run that park then take those wolves and they put them back in the cage where they're at. And they get that buffalo and they pump antibiotics in him. See? Those wolves could sense that that buffalo was sick. Wolves has a great sense for somebody who is sick and weak. They also know who they can talk to, who they can't talk to, because they won't listen to their garbage. They know who will listen and won't. Be a whistleblower and they will run. They will only persuade you to be part of their pack if you let them blow your whistle. A wolf will not allow the pastor to pastor a church. You know what? I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this church has allowed me to be the pastor. I appreciate that. I've been here going on 9 years now, and this church has allowed me to pastor this church. And I'd like to ask a favor. Everyone that's sitting in this congregation today, everyone that is home and listening to this message that's part of this church, and I hope you're coming back soon, because I want to tell you, if you're not in this place, you're out of place this morning, and we miss you. But I want to ask a favor. When someone comes to you and starts saying that things like, I don't like how the pastor says things, or I don't think we should have to do this or that, I think he has too many standards, would you please, when they say we need to put the pastor in his place, would you please take your whistle out and blow it and be a whistleblower for the wolf? See, because if we can identify the wolves and blow the whistle, they won't come in and rip apart our church. Oh, it may rock the boat a little bit. You know, in the story about the wolf that is in sheep's clothing, the one of the ways after the wolf got in the sheep's clothing, hey, the sheep couldn't detect who he was. But one of the way that the wolf, that the shepherd knew there was a wolf in his, or something was wrong in that flock, was because the sheep started going missing. Because the wolf was eating them. And the sheep herd was getting lower and lower and lower. When someone is always trying to get someone kicked out for this or that, or telling everyone how they should do their job, they have more junk in their backyard than you can shake a stick at. I'll give you an illustration of this. There was a young lady that became pregnant of one of the members of the families of the church. And there was this one lady that came up and she said, did you hear about so-and-so? And the pastor said, yes. The pastor and the parent had already asked the pastor to go to her and see if he could talk to her, help her a little bit. And he said, yes, I have. She said, I'm trying to help her. I've been trying to contact her this day. Now she said, that's not what I'm talking about. I can't believe that's happened. You need to kick that girl out of church. Hey, you need to, and she said, hey, the first thing we need to do is try to reconcile. So the first thing we need to do is try to go and reach out and try to help. We need to try to reconcile that young lady. And the lady just kept on, and finally she began to tell it to other people until the one man leaned over as she was telling him, said, ma'am, the father of that child is your son. I want to tell you, wolves, they get hungry. And they want to rip things apart. They want to constantly find fault in other people. And they want to hurt other people. Oh, they may be doing it in the idea of being absolutely right, but mostly it's usually pious. Wolves, better watch out. Wolves have a huge strain on their conscience also. You know how you can tell a wolf? Usually by they have a troubled look about them. I had a dog that was a wolf dog one time. It was half wolf, half dog. And I'm telling you what, it had one blue eye and one brown eye. That maybe why it made it look so funny, but it always was leery. I mean, I walked next to the pen, next thing you know, boy, that thing was... I mean, I raised it like I do every other dog, and usually dogs will listen to me, and I can pet them and everything. But man, that thing was all the way. Wolves have a discontent look on their face. Hey, you know what? Wolves, by the way, I want everybody to smile real quick. I'm going to go on before I finish this next one. Everybody put a smile on your face, please. Please. Okay. Wolves in sheep's clothing will tend not to smile as much as people who live authentically and tell the truth no matter what the consequences. Why? Because wolves have a huge strain on their conscience. This usually reveals on their face. I hear the wolves howling. I hear the wolves howling. Crank that thing up. And we need to blow the whistle on the wolf. Now, folks, right here is where it gets real this morning. And I say this with a tender heart. I don't say this with any meanness in me, honestly. But wolves live dangerous lives. Just as the wolves, as they would come in and they would try to eat the sheep or kill the lambs of a flock, they began to bring the attention to the shepherd, and then things began to take place to try to eliminate the wolf. Wolves live dangerous lives. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, the Bible says, "Grievous wolves shall move in among you, not sparing the flock." A lot of little lambs get drug off by wolves. Lambs are a delicacy for wolves. You know what? If you're in here today, and I'm not saying that every wolf is a lost. I believe a Christian. I believe they're saved and on their way to heaven. I believe they can, through bitterness or through something they allowed to come in, they can turn into a wolf. Through not yielding to the Holy Spirit and God working, they can be a wolf. And I want to tell you, whenever someone becomes a wolf, whenever a sheep turns from being a sheep to a wolf, the lambs suffer. The young ones suffer. Hey, you know what? I can remember as a young person about the age of Aiden right here, sitting in a service and seeing a wolf call out my grandpa one day. And I want to tell you, it hurt me. It done something to me. And one reason I fought the ministry for a long, long time, because I'd seen what the wolves would try to do. I'd seen the grief they caused. Wolves, they like the lambs. They destroy lambs. Let me remind you of this verse this morning in Matthew 18:6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone hung around his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea." Pretty strong words. I want to tell you, wolves live dangerous lives. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep, remember. One of the things that God hates with a passion is the he that soweth discord among the brethren. Wolves live dangerous lives. Wolves, they like to go and they like to get other people on their side and spill their guts and try to tear down and try to cause discord. Wolves live dangerous lives. When you get to sowing division, criticizing the direction that God has given the man of God to lead the church, you are entering dangerous ground. There was a man in a church, and these are true stories that I'm getting ready to give you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just making this up. There was an adult Sunday school class teacher in a church, and he began to dislike the pastor of that church, and he had a falling out somehow with him, but he continued to teach the Sunday school class. But that man would take on the preacher's CDs, and he would pick things out of that message, take things out of context, and he would take it back to his Sunday school class and begin to sow questions about the pastor in that Sunday school class. Well, a very serious thing happened in that Sunday school class. Within 1 year, 23 out of 25 in that Sunday school class had died. Wolves live dangerous lives. Some of them died in car accidents. Some of them died with cancer. Some of them died of a heart attack. But there was some that they never even really know what caused them to die. Said it was so bad that the people were accusing the pastor of putting a curse on that Sunday school class. But he greeted, as the pastor would say, with a broken heart and tears in his voice. And he said, I wouldn't want any one of them to die. But wolves live dangerous lives. There's another one. There was a pastor. He preached to a man. He preached a message about selling alcohol. And he used the verse about, woe to the man who puts drink in the mouth of his neighbor. He didn't know at the time, I don't think. He had a deacon in the church that was selling alcohol in his place, his establishment. That man, as this preacher was preaching, he got up, he got his family up, he began to walk out the door, and as he was walking out the door, his family looked back and said, I will be back when you're gone. The preacher said, sir, you will meet God on down the road. That night, as everyone had went to bed, his wife got up in some type of semicolon. She still to this day doesn't know what happened, what was the cause of it. She got up, took her pistol, she emptied into the man's head and body. As her kids came in, she was still clicking the pistol halfway in a coma as she was pulling the trigger. Sir, you'll meet God on down the road. I want to tell you, it's a dangerous thing. Hey, we don't always do things right, but I want to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to rub it in the face of God's man. There was also another man. There was a church getting ready to pull out of the Southern Baptist Convention years ago when Dr. Lee Robertson was still alive and John R. Rice. And this church was getting ready to pull out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the preacher had made an announcement that there was going to be Dr. John R. Rice and Dr. Robertson was going to be preaching at a service, and he had a deacon come out to him after the church service. He said, let me get this right. You're telling me that Dr. John R. Rice is going to be preaching in our church, my church? He said, yes, I've got him scheduled, blah, blah, and everything. He said he's going to be here. He said, I want to tell you this. John R. Rice will speak in my church over my dead body. Well, the week of that meeting, they had the funeral of that man. And as they carried his casket into the church in the middle of the day, they come underneath the sign, it said, speaking this week, Dr. John R. Rice and Dr. Lee Robertson. Wolves live dangerous lives. Another preacher one day, we got up and preached a message, and he was preaching on smoking cigarettes. And he was talking about the temple of God. He said, you call this the temple of God? He says, no, our bodies are the temple of God. He's gotten a coffee can plumb full of cigarette buds and everything else. He said, Your body is the temple of God. And he took those cigarette butts and he threw them down that aisle and he went everywhere. He said, oh, you're in awe of all the preachers. He's desecrating the house of God and everything else. He said, this isn't the house of God. Your body is the house of God. You're exposed to so many different type of poisons in your body with every puff. said there was a man that stood up. He said, I'm a deacon in this church. He said, I want to tell you this. He said, I smoke. And he said, I smoke. And he said, I will continue to smoke till God shows me it's wrong. And he sat back down. That evening, that next morning, the preacher got a call from the man's wife. He said, preacher, so-and-so, he's in the hospital. He wants you to come and see him. And he said, you know what? I just grieved over it. That boldness and what he'd done. He said, I wasn't mad. He said, I just grieved over it. He said, I grieved all evening, the pastor said. And then he went into that room and he said, but the wife said this before he went. He said, he wants you to bring a tape recorder. He said, he wants you to bring a tape recorder. He will explain it when you get there. He walks into the room where the man was staying in the room. The man said, preacher, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I should have never did what I did. He said, when I sat down, says almost like an audible voice, but it wasn't an audible voice. He said, but God told me, he said, you've crossed the line. You have signed your death certificate. He said, I'm going to die in just a little while. He said, but I want to record and I want to tell everybody. I want it to be, the family even agreed later on to play it at his funeral. So I want to record and tell, hey, it's dangerous to cross the line. And that man, he told him, he said, oh, it's okay, sir. He said, I'm not even mad at you. I said, I'm not harboring any unforgiveness towards you. It's going to be okay. He says, no, preacher, I will be dead shortly. Well, the pastor walks out, he runs into the doctor, and he tells the doctor, as he was coming towards that room, he said, told him what this man had told him, and the doctor said, you can believe all that stuff if you want to believe it. He said, that man just had an asthma attack. He's going to be okay. His O2 levels are coming up. He's going to be all right. And as before he could get that whole conversation out of that, the doctor got a whole conversation out of his mouth. Nurse came out of the room and said, doctor, come here. And the pastor and the doctor went in that room. Within 5 minutes, that man suffocated to death. He died. Wolves live dangerous life. Warning! Hey, I want to tell you not another one. There was a man that was trying to pastor a church, and he teaches young people that they ought to be pure. They ought to put certain things in their body. They ought to live a different way, and they ought to encourage them to do what was right. And he had some deacons that wanted to sit out on the front porch and smoke cigarettes after service. He asked them, said, please, hey, don't you guys be out here smoking? He said, I got young people going to walk by here, and I'm trying to teach them, hey, to live good, clean lives and not to put things like that into their bodies and different things. He said, could you please not be smoking out there? Well, the preacher preached the next message, and he went around, as he often did, to meet people that come out the door. And what did he find? He found one of his deacons sitting there smoking a cigarette. He said, called him by name. He said, I tried to explain. I asked you, I begged with you not to be doing this. He said, would you please not be smoking out here? That man said, preacher, I was here before you were here. I've been here for a long time. And he said, what? I was smoking then, and I'll tell you what, I'll smoke where I want, when I want, and how much I want. Man went home that afternoon, came back that evening like he always did. He was always there on Sunday night. After the Sunday night service, he got in his vehicle, drove 3 hours to a hotel where he would stay, and then he drove the rest of the way to the place that he was doing business the next day where his business was set up. Stayed in a hotel. That pastor got a call from that man's wife, and she was hysterical. In the middle of the night, or it was early in the morning hours, she was calling and just weeping and wailing. She said, Pastor, he's dead. What in the world? What happened? Said, well, they don't know for sure, but the best they could tell, he was smoking while he was in bed, and the cigarette fell out of his hand, and it caught on some combustible things, and it burned him up. Now the man who smoked where he wanted, when he wanted, and how much he wanted, smoking more than he ever wanted. He suffocated in smoke. Wolves live dangerous lives. And this morning I say that because you know what? We all have wolf tendencies from time to time. I could be a wolf. Even sweet little Amanda could be a wolf up here. But we all have the potential of being wolves. And my question is this morning, I don't want you to respond to this message the wrong way. It's not me taking a whip up here and beating people. It's not. It's not. We don't have time to be wolves, folks. We don't have time to get sucked into this stuff. And we don't have time to sit around and listen to wolves. What do we need to do if we're going to fight against the wolves? Blow the whistle. And I'm going to have to finish up. I'm going to give you just a spotlight. I might finish up this next week. Protection against wolves. Every shepherd, number one thing he likes to have is a good sheepdog. I just asked you a while ago, so you know what? I need some sheepdogs. I don't need no chihuahuas. I need a wolf dog. This is a big bad. This one guy got saved, man, big old boy. He said he's like, I mean, look like Hulk Hogan. And he said, the preacher said it, and he was dumb as a box of rocks, but he said, man, he's on fire as soon as he got saved. He said, what can we do? He said, well, you can go with me and we'll go soul winning today. He said, soul winning? Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm going. And he went with the preacher. The preacher went and visited that day with some people, and then he on the way home he said, so-and-so hadn't been to church for a little while. So I was going to stop over there and see them, visit them for a while. And so he did. Pulled in that house, the guy sort of opened the door, very cold, put him in there. He said the guy was visiting, was sitting here. The big boy, one of the Lord, was sitting over here. And he said, I just want to know if everything's okay. And he said, no, everything's not okay. And then about that time he lit into the pastor. And he said, you know what? The pastor said, I've done forgot about my new convert over till I felt the ground shake. He said, that guy was ripping me up. He said, next thing I know, he done around there and came by me like a wind blowing. Tried that man from the neck and began beating his head on the side. Don't you ever talk about my preacher. Don't you ever talk about my preacher. Don't you ever talk about my preacher that way. Now, you probably say, Pastor Kevin, you're not condoning that kind of reaction. No, but you know how some people are. But the idea, your preacher, your church family, where's loyalty today? Hey, as long as I'm preaching the Word of God, as long as I don't go and open up some other type of Bible, hey, as long as I'm not running off a 20-year-old woman or something, I tell you what, I'm your pastor, I'm preaching the truth. And by the way, you won't have to worry about me if I run off a 20-year-old woman because my wife will kill me. And I know, most of you know that I've been here long enough, and I love you. And I've had to speak truth when it's hard to speak truth. And I've preached the Word of God. And I've pleaded with tears night and day. And I want to tell you, I love you. And I'm doing what God has called me to do. And you guys knew this is what God called me. You believed it. And let's just keep on going. I love what God puts together. So, blow the whistle on the wolf. One last thing, you'll hit it briefly. The best defense from a wolf attack. Well, you know, the best defense from a wolf attack is this. The sheep in Colorado, the mountain sheep, when they smell wolves, they get a whiff when they're in the area. See, they don't have no claws. They don't have no teeth to fight back with. They're pretty helpless when it comes to wolves. But they got one defense. A nose. And they can smell the wolves when they're in the area. And when they smell the wolves in the air, you know what they start doing? They start making a track up the mountain. Higher and higher. Higher and higher. All them old wolves, they can follow along on those narrow edges. But the higher they go, the slower them wolves get. And they start... They start breathing harder and harder. And they start talking back and forth. It's getting hard to breathe up here. And they begin having conversations like, you know what? I just don't think it's worth it. There goes the high, I can't breathe. You know what? That jackrabbit down there in the valley is looking awful good to me. And they turn around and head back down the mountain. When the wolves attack, don't stick around and allow them to devour you. See, every time the wolves attack, it takes something out of a person. We need to be protected before they even get there. When we sense they're in the area, what do we need to do? Go higher. Hey, go higher in your Bible reading. Go higher in your prayer life. Go higher in your service to God. Don't let it out of discouragement. Wolves are in there. Oh, I got to quit. I'm discouraged. No, go higher. Paul's told us there will be wolves that come in from outside and they come up from the inside. Don't allow the wolf to destroy what God is doing in your life and in this church. When you hear the wolf, blow the whistle on the wolf.